and forever. I appreciated the song that was sung here after Sunday school. Appreciate the message of that song, and I trust that we will take that message to heart. I'm also blessed by the verse on the board here. I'll be reading a verse prior to that one. And I was also blessed in our Sunday school class, as well as Brother Kelvin, mentioning about the life of Peter. And there was a number of comments made in our Sunday school class about Peter. And Kelvin mentioned about him walking on the water and about the fear that he experienced. And maybe I'm experiencing some of that this morning. But we're going to, by the help of the Lord, we're going to be talking a little more about Peter. I'd like for you to turn with me to St. John chapter 13. St. John chapter 13, and we're going to be reading verses 36 through 38. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. I think we're familiar enough with this scripture that we know this is just prior to Jesus' crucifixion. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. We're familiar with that. Now, if you will, turn with me to chapter 21 of St. John. Chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, one of the writers would say that the last time Jesus asked him, Do you love me? He was simply saying, Am I really your friend? And Peter said, he responded again, that I do love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, I don't want to take this out of its setting, but as I look at the scripture, and as I look at the life of Peter and his boldness, and how he so emphatically told Jesus he would not deny him, and Jesus, of course, in return, responded and said, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And then, of course, later, when he was down by the sea, why, Peter had an experience of Jesus asking him three times, Do you love me? And first time he said, Feed my lambs. The next time, two times he said, Feed my sheep. Now, if you will, turn with me to 2 Peter, chapter 1. As some of you know, we've been preaching a series of messages from chapter 1, pardon me, from 1 Peter, and I'm not sure we will continue that. We may occasionally. But I'd like for us to, as we think about 2 Peter, I'd like for us to notice a few things. I believe Peter in this scripture, in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, I believe Peter is feeding his sheep. He's doing exactly what Jesus told him to do. And before you, so I'd like to read the first 15 verses here, where it simply says this: Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. And in verse 15 he says further, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now, this morning, as Christians, as children of God, I believe we are sheep. And I believe this message that Peter shared back nearly 2,000 years ago is still for you and I today. And this blesses me as I think of this. And of this Peter that once was so bold in his own strength, he became converted and he responded to the call of God. And he endeavored with all his strength to make the things that he learned and that Jesus told him to teach the lambs and the sheep. He endeavored to make that known to God's children, and you and I still have this today. In Peter's first letter, Peter feeds Christ's sheep by instructing them how to deal with persecution. And I'd like to read a few verses in chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And I think here he's indicating that we can be part of that glory, experience it through Jesus Christ. Then in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. In Peter's second letter, he teaches them how to deal with false teachers and evildoers who have come into the church. In chapter 2 of 2 Peter, in verse 1 he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." In chapter 3, we have verses 3 through 4. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Now, more specifically, I'd like to say this, that his purpose, I believe, in 2 Peter is threefold. First, it's to stimulate Christian growth. And how, if we're a child of God, how we need to experience growth in our lives. That should be our desire. And secondly, to combat false teaching in chapter 2. Then in chapter 3, he encourages watchfulness in view of the Lord's certain return. And I believe that's important for us in the New Testament church today, as children of God, that we recognize Peter is feeding the sheep. And he's telling us the importance of stimulating growth in our lives, and also to combat false teaching, and also to encourage watchfulness in view of the Lord's certain return. Do you believe in it this morning? The day is coming when he's going to return. And be that as it may, the day is coming, it may be before the Lord's return, when you and I are going to be called from this life to the life beyond. Several weeks ago, I was, things have kind of changed at our house, and that's okay. I'm the one that does the gardening. It used not to be that way. And I certainly don't claim to be a very good one. But I have a certain amount of appreciation and enjoyment in it. And it was very dry. So I went out to the garden and with the water hose, and I began to water. And I began to observe just a few things. We don't have many things in the garden since I'm in charge of it. Just a few things. I think I can say maybe 45 plants with everything that's in there. But it's been a blessing and a joy. But as I was out there watering, and our garden, some of you that have different types of soil, if you'd come and work in my soil, you would probably even maybe get jealous a little bit. I don't know. But last year, in my sweet potatoes, they did quite well. And I actually went out there with my hands and got down on my knees and just dug them out. And pulled on the vines, and I just scratched the dirt back, and out rolled these sweet potatoes. That's how soft their dirt is. But it was obvious that there's something wrong. So I sent some soil samples in and got it tested. And the results came back that it is seriously deficient. And they even mentioned about the worst they'd ever seen. That doesn't make a gardener very proud of himself. But that's okay. And so they also give me some instructions how to remedy this. But he said it's going to take some time. And so I set out to do that. And there's evidence of some improvement. And as I was out there, this message began to take birth in my heart. And of the value of instruction. And I began to think of my Christian life, my relationship with God, my relationship with others. And finally, you know, within me, I began to be blessed by the privilege of having a possession of this book in my home and in my heart, that this word is an instruction to me to grow and to live. I forgot to give you the title of my message. There's a lot of titles that I could have got out of this scripture, but the one that I chose is Life in Godliness. Now this morning, all of us that are here, we have life, physical life. It's a gift that's been given to us. And I praise God that God not only gave us the gift of life, but through Jesus Christ. He gave us the gift of eternal life because He loved us so much. He tells us in John 3:16 that He gave us the gift of eternal life. Now, I'd like to assure you this morning that none of us had a choice as to where and when we came into this life on this earth. But God brought us here. And so life is a gift of God to us. And now what we do with this gift of life, He's also created us as creatures of choice. And the Bible tells us very clearly, there are only two ways. That's the way to destruction and the way to eternal life. And we have a responsibility and privilege this morning to choose. One of my favorite scriptures, an Old Testament scripture about where Moses placed before the people, children of God, the Israelites, and he gave them a choice. And he says, I now place before you life and death. And I don't have it quite right, but you know the scripture, I believe. It's a tremendous blessing. And we have the choice to make, to choose that which pertains to life and godliness. Or we'll automatically be on the other route. But this morning, as I think of growth, I'm blessed. When a child is born into our home, and we look at him and say, a perfect specimen of humanity. How cute. Their little toes, their little fingers, and their hands, and, their body, just a little beauty of perfection. But you know what happens? If those little toes don't get bigger, those little fingers don't get bigger, those little feet don't start to walk, what happens? We get concerned, do we not? We get concerned. And we try to seek for remedies and areas. And I've been blessed. And I know grandpas tend to be a little partial, and you'll have to bear with us if we are. But there's something about observing your grandchildren and watching them grow. And it's a blessing. And one thing that I've observed, it seems like the more that you have in that same family, it seems like the quicker they respond in some areas. And I believe it's because as they in that family and they see a lot of other activity, they get a lot of tension, then it brings a desire in that little heart, in that little life, to do what they're doing. And it seems like they begin responding. And I think that's a beautiful thing about growth in the Christian life. The Church of Jesus Christ, as we grow in Him as individuals, it should also be encouraging and stimulating to others who walk along beside us and come along behind us. And I'd like to challenge us this morning as Christians, as children of God. Is a desire in your heart this morning to grow in the things of God? I think Peter knew that growth was important. And he knew that in order to grow, we need to be fed. And so Jesus said, feed the lambs, feed the sheep. And Peter is here in 1st and 2nd Peter endeavoring to teach us and to feed us about the things of God. And what a blessing it is. As I was out there in my garden, I made an arch out of a fence and planted cucumbers down in the corners. And I enjoy to watch them cucumbers grow on that, arch, and reach upward. And I've never really thought about this much before. Maybe you've observed this down through the years about cucumber plants. I don't know why God did this, but he put some little, I call them feelers, but little, it looked like string, you know, and just long, some of them get longer, and they reach out, and they reach out, and they reach out until they get hold of something. When they get hold of that, then they do something. They start wrapping themselves around it. And that becomes a stability for them so they can bear fruit. That's a blessing to me as I thought of that. How God can teach us in so many ways. You know, he tells us in one place, we're to try the spirits. These cucumbers that reach up and they try to find stability. Something they can latch onto and then produce their fruit. That's beautiful as I thought about that. This morning, are you and I, are we reaching out to God? Are we reaching out to his word? Are we reaching out to his spirit to give us direction that we might grow? And so I think it's a tremendous blessing as I think of life and godliness. And as I began to meditate on his greatness and on his provision for our redemption through his son, Jesus Christ, then I began to think how blessed I am. And all of us who have responded to the gospel message, how blessed we are that we can know Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord. We have the Bible, the Word of God, which is divinely inspired. I read a statement that says this: it is a living and active word that informs, that motivates, and enables all our righteous deeds. Not of our own strength, but as we read the Bible, the Word of God, and we recognize it is divinely inspired. And I was also blessed, I thought of this, as the Bible as an instruction book, teaching us how to live. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we'd like to look at a number of these verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is reaching out to us. And he's saying he's a servant. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Peter here, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. This morning, as a Christian, as a child of God, sometimes we have valley experiences. I know that. But sometimes when we get in those valleys and begin reading the Word and meditating, and sometimes the grace of God begins to become precious to us. And peace starts flooding through our heart, through our soul. And it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, Peter says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This morning, what a blessing as I think of that. Have you had those experiences when it just seems like the peace of God and the grace of God begin to multiply in your life? Peter's talking about addition here. He's talking about multiplication in the Scripture. And I trust, as we look at this, we allow God to speak to us and respond if there's needs in our hearts, in our lives. If we're not growing too well, that we recognize Peter and God want us to grow. Grow in Him. Says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Those of you students that are getting ready to go back to school here before long, you know, you don't just go over there and sit in your desk. Your teacher doesn't allow that. Your parents don't want that to happen. And those that further education, they know it takes diligence. It takes work. And so this morning, if we're not growing like we should, like we'd like to be, maybe it's because we're not diligent enough in our desire to know God. To know God. And be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Then he says in verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, not all of us drive Chevys, not all Fords, and all a host of other makes. But that doesn't say we don't have transportation to take us from point A to point Z. But this morning, the power that he's talking about here is available to all of us as his children. Think about it. Whereby are given, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This morning, are you interested in life? Do you have life? Are you really experiencing life? And godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. The invitation, the calling is to glory and virtue. You know, God was glorified through the life of his Son. His willingness to leave the glories of heaven and to give his life on the cross for our sins. So that we could be washed and cleansed and put in right relationship with the Father. And he was glorified for that. You know, God said in one place, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased with. And how God was glorified with the life of the Son. And Peter here says, we too can obtain of that glory. Not in our own strength, but as we follow Jesus Christ. As we become knowledgeable of him and his greatness and his goodness. And then in verse 4 he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What a blessing as we think of that. What a blessing as we think of that. As it says herein, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This morning, it's alarming. In our nation, in our world, how lust is on a rampage. And our jails are being filled with those that are lusting after the things of the flesh. Just across the mountain the other day, they found drugs. People were raising them back in the bushes, so to speak. And the street value of those that they found was over $16 million. Think about it. We're living in a era, in a time when, when our country is in need, lots of financial needs about us. And yet, the lust, if followed after, can bring that kind of... But they'll be paying for it. And all that $16 million will be destroyed, I'm sure. The other... now going to verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence. He says, besides this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And I was blessed as I looked at that. The importance of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in our journey. Putting our faith and our confidence and our trust in Him. Someone has said this, "For there is faith, all that is needful in order to possess any other grace is diligence." And as it says here, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And that word "add" there comes from a Greek alluded word translated "add" to the what they call the choric dances, where with hands joined together, the performers kept up a measured movement to the sound of music. I like what the writer further states. He says, "Hand linked in hand, let all the graces advance together. Faith giving one hand to courage, courage giving the other hand to knowledge, knowledge holding with free hand to temperance." And in your faith, these are not detachable graces, but faith is the root from which virtue and all other graces grow. I'm not sure, it was about 7 or 8 years ago, there was a storm that went through here, especially there in our neighborhood, and a neighbor's tree blew over, and we had one that was leaning badly. It was, and I was afraid it was going to keep on until it falls over. So I talked to a man who's familiar with nurserymen, and he encouraged me to put a winch to that tree and some power and straighten him up. And so we did. And then we also put a cable to him, to that tree, and we drove a stake in the ground, and we fastened the cable to the stake, and we didn't have him perfectly straight, but nearly so. And after a number of months, we finally loosened the cable, and I was pleased with the response of that tree. Well, on July the 4th, when we were away from home, a few weeks ago, we came home, this tree was laying flat on the ground. And I called my neighbor and asked, did a storm pass through here? And of course, they assured me the evidence he had. So I looked at that tree, and he made mention there even seemed to be like a twist. Like the air was, one time kind of going around another way and so forth. And so I looked at it and I said, "I believe the tree was being twisted off." And my son-in-law knows more about trees than I do. And he looked at it and he said, "No, it wasn't twisted off." And further observation was that probably 7 years ago, that root on the upper side was damaged and was torn. So we straightened it up, but there still was not strength back there because the root was damaged. And so it was very obvious that there was no life on that side of the tree. This morning, how deep is your faith? Is it rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ? Or is your faith damaged to the extent when adversity comes, when a storm comes of doubt, or whatever the tempter tries to bring our way, that we lose foothold in our faith in Jesus Christ? This morning, I believe before we can add, before we can multiply in these graces that Peter writes about, we need to be established in our faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This morning, there's so many things in life that we can learn by in our journey of life. God wants to teach us. Peter has written us to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep. And I trust that's our desire this morning. And then in verse 5, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We have knowledge in this first chapter here at least 4 times. And we have it several more times. In verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The latter part of verse 3, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Then in verse 5, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. And then in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The other evening, I was weed eating around one of the gospel signs that Brother Paul probably put there, Brother Paul Hirschberger, and I already had this message in mind for the next time I preach. And I looked up and looked at the message on that sign. And it said simply this, retain God in your knowledge. Romans 1:28. Thank you, Lord. Retain God in your knowledge. Now I'd like to turn to Romans. You know, we like that verse. But if we turn to Romans, it has more to tell us than just retain your knowledge of God. Romans 1:28. I'll be reading verse 28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And then the last one is, not the last one, but last one for this verse, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, impeaceable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. My, what a list. What a list. And what does it start out with? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. This morning, do you like to retain God in your knowledge? Life is not worth living if we don't have God. We're going to meet up with Judgment Day. It's going to be far different than we think. If we don't, but I trust I'm speaking to a group of people this morning that desire to grow in their knowledge of God. I was talking to a brother some time ago, an older brother who's gone on to be with the Lord. And we were talking about how we lie awake at night sometimes. We can't sleep because of the things that are on our minds. And he said he was talking to this older brother who was... He was just like a spiritual father to me in another state. Often had the privilege of traveling with him. And he said one night he couldn't sleep. There he laid. Sleep just wouldn't come. Then he began to think about his life and all the blessings that he enjoyed as a young man and of God's goodness to him, as it wasn't long till he woke up. He had fallen asleep because he thought of the goodness of God. This morning, most of us have things to keep us awake at times. At least I do. And I suppose some of you do. But may God help us that during those times, we fill our mind with the knowledge of God. We long to know Him better and to walk with Him. Think about the Scripture. Here we're talking about the knowledge of God. And it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What happened? They began living or continuing in the life of sin. And I'll tell you, this is all about us today. People that choose not to think about God and follow Him, have no desire to grow in their knowledge of Him. What happens? It says they're being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, dignity, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And you know what it says after that? Disobedient to parents. That's quite a list. And the simple thing that we call sometimes simple disobedience to parents is listed among them. May God help us to see after that which pertains to knowledge. And then he says here in verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. We're talking about life and godliness this morning. We're talking about adding to, about multiplying, about growing in the things of God. This morning, you have life. I have life. And is our desire to grow in the things of godliness. And, patience. Some of us need that. But it says here that, with knowledge, then temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, listen what Peter says. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that scripture. That verse, he's telling us if we're fruitful children of God, it's because of our relationship with God and His knowledge, knowing Him. But then he says this, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. My brother talked about fear this morning. Have you ever feared that you might become blind? I know there's people that fear that physically. And you know, as we think about what we can do, how important life is to be able to see, to enjoy the blessings that God has created, to see the beauty, or even to read the Word of God, see to receive instruction, and to see life at work. And growth. What a blessing. But he says here, he that lacketh these things is blind. This morning, are you concerned that you're going blind? And cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This morning, if we are rejoicing in the fact that our sins are forgiven, we're cleansed, then I believe there should be a desire there to grow. To grow in God. Grow in appreciation and gratitude for all His blessings that He shares with us. Then he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. I love what Peter says here. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Though you know them, and be established in the truth. Yea, I think it meet. As long as I am in this tabernacle. This was 3 years after Paul wrote 1 Peter. Now he's writing 2 Peter. And Peter knew that his life was coming near to the end. Peter knew that he was going to have to be crucified. History tells us that he didn't want to be crucified upright like Jesus was. He didn't feel worthy of that. But he requested to be crucified upside down. Are you willing to do that this morning? Because of your love for the Savior. Am I? But I just appreciate what Peter says here. I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And today, you and I have the written word. We have Peter's letter of feeding the sheep. Do you love it this morning? Are you glad for this food, for this feed that we can receive for our souls? And allow these virtues, these graces, to multiply in our hearts, in our lives, as we think of the tremendous blessings of God. I looked up the word sheep in the Strong's, and the Greek word for this particular word here in this setting says something that walks forward. Sheep, literally or figurative. Isn't that beautiful? Something that walks forward. Where are you going this morning? Are you going forward? Are you going backwards? Are you going towards God? Are you going away from God? This morning, Peter tells us, endeavor. Endeavor. What a beauty as we think about that. And I thought of our mission statement this morning, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I have it in front of my desk there on a bulletin board, and I look at it occasionally. Just a couple things I'd like to read here. It says, we are committed to following Christ in life. And one is by growing in grace, in knowledge, and in love through an ever deepening faith and trust in God. That's beautiful as we think about that. Is that our goal? Is that our goal this morning? I trust it is. I'd like to read a portion of this scripture that I read this morning in the NIV. Begin reading in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. I like how it states that there. First, we have to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. This morning I came across some phrases in a magazine that I have, that I was just blessed by. And I want to read a few of those this morning to you at the close of this message. This first statement I'm going to read is by Spyros Zodiatis. And that's Philip Zodiatis, whom we know, his father, who's passed on several years ago. Jesus calls not those on whom he can build, but those for whom he can become the very foundation of their lives. I like that. Jesus wants to be the very foundation of our lives. And then we can build on that. We must live for Christ here if we were to live with him hereafter. Live as if Christ died yesterday, arose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow. A man may go to heaven without health, without riches, without honor, without learning, without friends. But he can never go there without Christ. You know, all the things that we have attained in this life, we'll leave them all behind. But praise be to God. Jesus has made provision. He's given us life, physical life. Then he's provided spiritual life for us. And all these promises that we find in the Word of God. And the ultimate of one of those promises is heaven. That he's in heaven now, preparing for you and I a place to go. As I was studying this message, there's a song that became, Brother Darrell thought we might be able to sing it. I won't take time to do that now. But that song has always been a blessing to me. My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice in the path that I take. They follow wherever I go. My sheep know my voice and come at my call. But a stranger's voice do they not know. Let's recognize the stranger. Let's not follow. My sheep know my voice and the pastures of green, where I lead them so often to feed. My sheep know my voice in the cool, sparkling stream, where beside its still waters I lead. My sheep know my voice in the valley of death, through which I shall lead them someday. But no danger nor harm can touch one of them, for I will be with them always. Think about it this morning. The valley of the shadow of death. He will even lead us through that. We're all going to face it someday. Yes, we are. My sheep know my voice, and day by day they abide in the fold and go not astray. They love me because I made them my choice, and they follow me, follow my call, for my sheep know my voice. Shall we kneel? Our righteous eternal Father in heaven, we come to you this morning with praise and gratitude on our hearts. As we think of the life of Peter and how you called him and how he responded in such a way that you knew he was not able to fulfill. But the day came when you asked him three times and he responded that he loves you. And you told him to feed the sheep. And you also told him to follow you. And we thank you for the word that's written, that's inspired, that Peter wrote, and that we have today. Thank you, Lord, for it. And thank you for the invitation for us to follow you and to grow in you. Thank you for the very gift of life, and most of all for the abundant life in Christ. Thank you for each one present here this morning. Lord, thou who knowest our hearts, even the intents of our thoughts, move amongst us. Take glory to thyself. And Lord, just continue to draw us to yourself in such a way that you can work in and through our hearts and lives to bring glory to thyself. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. May God bless you, and let's keep on keeping on. for the glory of God.